Rabbi Yirmiyo Harari.
Good morning. Today I'd like to speak about an halacha that can be very helpful, especially if you're renting a house for the summer and you want to use the cooking facilities, and a few practical points that can very happen in the house. So first of all, are you allowed to use the cooking facilities? Is there any way to be machshir it? Second point, if by mistake somebody cooked a pizza in a ben yomo fleishik oven, can you eat the pizza? What's the halacha? Are you allowed to look at chila, cook a base of a pizza in the fleishik oven, just a base without the cheese, and take it out and then sprinkle cheese and have it as a pizza? Do you need to have separate spices in the kitchen? Fleishik milky. So we're going to speak about a few things. We're going to start from the makor, from the roots of this halacha, and bring it down to, we're going to speak about a few rishonim that bring it halacha lamaise. So the Gemara in Psochim Ein Vav Amar Rav Basar shchut ha-shomein shetzeloim basar nevela kochush. He's taking a piece of meat, kosher piece of meat, and he's roasting it together with a nevela piece of meat. What's the din? Asur. Levi amar afilu basar shchut ha-kochush shetzeloim basar nevela. Even if the kosher piece is very lean and the basar nevela is fat, lot of shomein, it's muta mai tama. Reicha ba'al mahu, v'reicha lav miltahi. He says it's reicha. Cooking a kosher piece of meat with a nevela piece of meat in the same oven, says Levi, it's reicha ba'alma. This literally means the smell of the nevela is only a reach that goes on it, and this is not choishesh. We have a machloikas, Rav and Levi. Rav says reicha milsehi. We are choishesh for reicha that comes from one to the other. Levi says, we're not chayshesh, that reyach, we're not worried about reicha when you're cooking two things in the oven. Now, at the end of the sugya, Rav Kana says, Rav Kana breder of chinana saba, pat shafai matzli, bread that you roasted, you bake together the bread with meat. Also, lachla bakutcha, says Rav Kana, the bread that you roasted together in the same oven with meat, you can't take the bread and have it together with cheese. And he says another example, he benita de'idve bada bisra, the fish that you roasted together with meat, aso rava. Rava is asring it. So why is he asring it? If you're cooking bread or fish together in the same oven with meat, Rav says it's also. So going back to the machlokes that we mentioned before, machlokes Rav and Levi, it seems like Rav Kana is paskin like Rav Lechumra, that reicha milsehi, that we worried about reach that could be nidbak on the bread or on the fish, therefore don't have it with cheese. And that's how Tosfos learns. Tosfos learns, mikam posek Rabbeinu Tam karav. From here, we see that Rav Kana paskins like Rav. However, Rashi says, "Afal gav the kaima tanei kavatei da Rav." Even though normally we paskin like Rav, hilchat kavata de Levi. However, we paskin like Levi. So here we have a machlokes Tosfos and Rashi. Tosfos paskins like Rav, the reicha milsehi, and Rashi paskins like Levi, the reicha lav milsehi. The only problem is, how does Rashi learn Rav Kana? If Rav Kana very clearly is passing like Rav, how can we learn Rashi? How can Rashi say that we're passing like Levi if the Gemara itself brings Rav Kana looks like Alakha Lamaise? So there's four answers to this. We're going to go through a few of them. The first one we're going to see is Rambam and Rif. How is he going to answer the question? How does Rashi learn? If there's Machlokes Rav and Levi and Rav Kana seem to be passing like Rav, how can Rashi say we're passing like Levi? So the Rambam and the Rif, they have a beautiful answer. They're saying that Levi was talking b'di'evid. Levi was talking b'di'evid. In other words, if it happened that you bake together bread and meat in the oven, b'di'evid, you can eat it. But Rav Kahana was speaking l'ketchila. So l'ketchila, you shouldn't do it. L'ketchila, you shouldn't put an avela or kosher piece of meat together and bake in the oven. L'ketchila, don't do that. But b'di'evid, if you've done it, it's mutar. So that's how, there's other tirutz, but I want to focus on this tirutz because this is how we paskin. So the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Ein tzunim basar kashera in basar nevela. The ketchila, you shouldn't cook basar kashera in basar nevela. Or shel behema tmea betanur achad, or tome an isol piece of meat together with a kosher piece of meat. Afle pisha einu gimze beze, even though they're not touching. V'im tzal'an harezem utar. However, b'di'evet, if he roasted it together, it's mutar. So we see that Shulchan Aruch is paskin like the Rambam Narif, how the way he explained in Rashi that we pass him like Levi. L'ketchila b'di'evet, that's how he explains the Gemara. Now there's a similar halacha in Tzadik Beis, and we're going to compare the two. Says the Shulchan Aruch, "Machvat shel cholov shelotna bekirat tachat deira shel basar." So you got a pot of milk, and you're putting it beneath a gdeira shel basar. So you've got milk boiling on the bottom, and on the top you've got a pot with meat inside. Hazeya. Oila ola, it goes up, Vanivla Bagdera Vosarata, and it makes the top one also. So here it sounds like Shulchan Aruch is saying even b'di'evid it's also. So comparing the two halachas, the first halacha we said, Lekatchila is also b'di'evid is muta. However, but we can see in Tzadik Beis that even b'di'evid is also. So what's the difference between the two halachas? So the Ramah says the Ramah says, when is it also? Ramah says, Imiya chalav b'machvat. You have to have milk in the bottom part. Ubeinan shishim b'tavshil shbegdeira neged chalav shbemachvat. V'kol ze marish ha-machvat mugule. So the Ramah says you need three things. You have to, if you've got milk inside and it's not covered and it's yad soledet, then it's also even b'di'evid. However, if there's no milk inside or there is milk but it's covered, the din is b'di'evid will be mutar. Now, why? Because explains the Isuv HaHeter. There's two different things. When there's milk inside the pot and it's uncovered, this is called zeya. This is steam coming out. That's more chomo than just reach. The steam comes out, and that is nivla and the gdera on top. That's also b'di'evid. Now, if it's covered, it's just reicha, it's not steam coming out, it's just reicha, that is mutar b'di'evid. So two different things, zeya and reicha. Now, where do we learn the isur of zeya? What's the root for the isur of zeya? The root of it is shut harosh. Shut harosh says that zeya is also, and it's like the mamashut itself. In other words, the steam that comes out is exactly the same as the mamashut of what you're cooking. So if you're cooking something meaty, the steam coming out is meaty. That's what the Shut HaRosh learns. And also he says, even though there's a gap between them, so you've got steam escaping from the sides, nevertheless, we choshesh that it was nivla in the gdera on top, and it'll be asering it. So the question is, why is the Gemara is cholik on Reicha, speaking about Reicha? Why didn't the Gemara speak about Zeya? So the question is, there's no sugya that speaks about Zeya in the Shas. No sugya speaking about Zeya in the context of Basav Cholav or Isu. So, and when there is, we talk about Nevela and a Basav in the oven, cooking together, and the Gemara is cholik on Reicha. Doesn't speak about Zeya. I would have said, before you get into Reicha, you should ask for it from Zeya. So why? So I looked at this. This question troubled me quite a bit. And I looked around and I saw the Shut Katav Sofer had a beautiful tirutz. He says in the time of the Gemara, the ovens were different from our ovens. They had fire inside the ovens. Now inside the oven they have a fire magula, and this fire would burn all the steam that comes out. So if you cook, whatever you're cooking inside the oven, whatever's been baking there, the steam comes out straight to the fire and the fire burns it. So that's why in the Gemara it wasn't necessary to explain the din of Zeya. But Shut HaRosh, a few generations afterwards, at that time they probably had maybe external fires, and so the fire didn't burn the Zeya. At his time there was already a chashash of Zeya. So what's the din of our ovens today? How do we regard our ovens? So Achronim speak about it. Some Achronim say that our ovens today, they have a heating element inside, and this heating element burns the Zeya as well. But some say not. Some say it's only with a fire that's red hot. That's when it burns the Zeya. So there's two different opinions here. But even they say that it does burn the steam, there's a small problem, because a lot of times the heating element is outside. If it's outside the oven, it doesn't burn the steam inside the oven. Another problem is there's a thermostat that puts on the element, the heating element, on and off. So when it's off, obviously there's no steam being burnt by the heating element. So even if it's an internal one, there could be when it switches off, then the Zeya will be inside the oven. So a lot of Achronim are chashish for Zeya. And the Achashish for Zeya, and Igrot Moshe, and a few other Achronim are chashish for Zeya. And so it looks like most of the Achronim are chashish. So it's a big nafkamina. So if you're cooking two things in the oven, one after the other, who'll be a nafkamina of Zeya? Says the Ramo, right, so the Ramo says, Im ofu otzolu isu veheter tachat amachvad. If you're cooking together isu and heter, tachat amachvad is underneath a closure around what you're cooking, so it's just like an oven. Now you're cooking it together, afilu b'dievet, it's also even b'dievet. Right, because of the reicha being transferred from one to the other. If you're cooking bread, you can't have it with milk. If you're doing one after the other, ein lechush. Eleim ken hizia ha-machvat mishneem. So says Aramo, if you're cooking zachar zeh, baking one after the other, there's no chashash unless it gave out zeya. So it sounds like from the Ramo, if you know that it gave out zeya, it will be also even zeachar zeh. So you have a ben yomo fleishik oven, and somebody cooked by mistake in their pizza with cheese. Okay, this is a big nafkamina here. Are you allowed to eat the pizza? So it comes out from here because zeah being transferred from the meat inside the oven, that zeah is going to be transferred on the pizza, so therefore it would be also. So says the Prima Godim, says it's also a filo b'dieved mishum zeah. So it's also, even b'dieved, you can't eat the pizza, because the zeah will be transferred onto the pizza. Now, I didn't mention it's a clean oven. It has to be that you clean the oven, because if it's not a clean oven, here for sure it's also because of momoshos. It could be the shuman of basar inside. So for sure, it has to be a clean oven, but ben yomo. However, Shutamar Sham, he says, b'dieved it's mutar. And he explains that kimistama, you have shishim more than the bli and zeya. So it says, Shutamar Sham, b'dieved, you can have the pizza. And he's assuming that you have shishim more than the bliyaz and zeya. So it's a chidush. I'm not sure whether we can say on this leketchila. I didn't see it mentioned anywhere, but I would assume that b'shat atchak, let's say if you made 10 pizzas and maybe in this situation the way it's shat atchak and it's letzoyrech, maybe it can be soymech in the shutam arasham. But the prima godim, it sounds like leketchila, we have to be machmir to, like the prima godim, they also afilu leketchila. So filu b'dieved. However, if the oven was achar meitlet, if you waited 24 hours, if so you cooked meat one day and then 24 hours you cook in the same oven, you cook cheese. So leketchila for sure it's also, because you're not allowed to cook meat and milk in the same oven. But b'dieved it's mutar because it's already pogum. The bliyaz and the zeh is already pogum, therefore it'd be mutar. Now, there's a heter that we probably all familiar with, covering what you're heating up. A kisui, you're covering, you put two kisuim, cover it twice, and you can put in the oven. So here, there's no zeah being transferred. If it's covered inside the oven, then there's no problem because no zeah is going in. So lots of achronim mention this. Igrot Moshe mentions this, that if it's covered, we're not chayshesh, and it's mutar, you can cover it and put it in the oven without any problem. However, the Shut Katav Sofer, he says, also lismoch al zeh bekviut. You can't be soymech on this kula bekviut. In other words, if someone's in the house, has just one oven, a meaty oven, and he wants to every now and then heat dairy inside, is he allowed to cover it every time he heats the dairy? Says the Katav Sofer, he cannot do that. Why? Because that's already kavua. Derech Arai is not a problem. If you're doing it once every now and then, let's say once a year, Shavuos, he's only got one oven, he can soymech on this. But to do this on a regular basis, says Shut Katav Sofer, you can't be soymech on this. And he doesn't seem to like this heter so much. He says simple reasons, because if you're doing this all the time, you might forget. Every time you're heating dairy, it could happen one time, you forgot to do the covers. Or it could be that he will cover it, but not properly. If you're doing it all the time, then okay, just covering it, you know, does his best. He might not do it properly. Or it could happen as well that the cover can fall off. If you've got a big baking tray and you're covering with aluminium foil, it happens all the time. When you're putting a tray in and out of the oven, it moves off. And even if it's slightly open, then it's already also. It's got blias and recha of the opposing way. It could be meat or milk. Right, so that's a good question. Actually, not necessarily, right? But, however, we are soymech on this. I will speak about that soon. It's a very good question. But I would say that whatever you can do, it's better to do. In other words, if you're, let's say, you're renting a house in the summer, and you want to use the cooking facilities. So even though you can just cover it and use it, here you can very easily kasher the oven. You can clean it and you can do hagola here as well. You can put it on for 45 minutes to kasher the oven properly. And on top of that, use two kisuim. So even though you don't really need to kasher the oven, but here you can easily do it. And also the reason is because some say that this kind of hechsher is good. But you can't soymech b'di'eved, even if it's uncovered, it's still also. You still can't eat the food if it gets uncovered. You have to make sure it's covered properly. However, some say this kind of hechsher is good. So it's good to be yoytze l'kol ha'deot, to make sure that when you're using an oven, a gresh oven, to make sure, so we'll just repeat that, make sure you clean the oven first properly, and afterwards put it on full for about 30, half an hour, 45 minutes. And then afterwards, when you're using the oven from then on, make sure it's covered with two covers.
If I wrap it twice to avoid, is that considered two covers?
Yes, yes. Now, there's a few things to be very careful from in this point you're mentioning. First of all, if you're wrapping it twice, if you take a silver foil and wrap it twice all the way around, that's not considered two covers. Right, so you have two pieces, two separate pieces. Yes, you've got one piece of aluminium foil, cover it, then take another piece and cover it. Now another thing, it has to be covered all the way around. All the way around. So the aluminium foil has to cover also on the bottom of the tray, all the way around, so that there shouldn't be, the bottom of the tray shouldn't be touching the bottom of the oven. So covering all the way around and two big pieces. Now,
lengthwise and widthwise.
Yes, yes. It has to be completely covered, airtight, completely covered, so no steam's coming in and out. And another thing as well, it's good to take the thicker aluminium foil. The thin ones, they tear very easily. If you take the thicker ones, they're a bit more stronger. And also, if you're baking big trays, it could be a bit hard to cover it properly. Maybe it's advisable to take the smaller trays, they're easier to cover, or take the wider aluminium foil. They're a bit more easier to use. And also the disposable trays, they seem to tear the aluminium foil very easily. So it's good to make sure you're taking suitable trays that you can cover very easily and cover it all the way around. Now, what's the din?
They're covered. Yeah, I've special oven by itself.
Self-clean.
It can't mix with anything.
Self-clean? Self-clean ovens?
Oven. You have to cook only the labor in it. Kosher labor in it, sorry.
Right. Are you talking about the self-clean ovens, the kasher themselves?
Kosher labor, yeah.
Right.
They don't cook labor in it. Kosher.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah, so
I mean... Well, sorry. The oven has to be kept
It's kedai to clean it. Because we mentioned
airline meals. You don't know
right, right. Okay, so airline meals, very good point. So in the airline meals, now how can you be so much in airline meals? Because it's a completely treifa oven. So anything could be in there. It could be spilled. So really, leketchila, you don't have. If it's covered, you can be soymech and you can have it, no problem. Even though there's mamashut inside, you don't have to. You can still have it. So leketchila, it's not no problem. Just I was adding leketchila, if you can very easily clean and kasha the oven, it's very kedai. Okay. Now obviously, if somebody's used to taking his own microwave every time he goes to the summer. Yeah, then it's probably the best. Even though you can kasha the oven, you can cover it. If you take your microwave every summer with you, I would say that's the best thing. You know, obviously, if you have to do the best you can. But if, let's say, you can't take your microwave with you, then at least you can do is kasha the oven and use two coverings. Now, in airline meals, you have to be still careful from a few things. When you have to regard the top of the aluminium foil that's covering the food, you have to regard it as completely treif. You have to protect. You have to think in your mind that on the top of this aluminium foil, there's shuman of treif on the top. So therefore, if you poke it, you could be putting inside shuman of treif inside. So what you have to do is when you're taking it off, you have to be very careful to take it off. First of all, check to make sure it's properly sealed. If it's even cut slightly, then you can't eat it.
Sometimes but have tongs which penetrates it in order to be taken out of the oven with.
Right, you have to make sure there's no puncturing anywhere on the tray, on the top. You have to check it first, make sure it's completely covered. Now, also, when you're taking it off, you have to take it off very gently, without poking it. And when you take it off, put it straight in the bin. Don't leave it hanging around while you're eating, just in case it might touch the food or anything. So you have to make sure it's very aware. And obviously, needless to say that once you've taken it off, even if you can't reheat it, and even if, let's say, you want to recover it, it might not be properly covered, so it's better not to reheat it. That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. If you're touching the top, it's good to wash your hands. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Okay, so now, what about microwaves? Microwaves. What do? You're in the summer and you want to use the microwave. So first of all, microwaves work differently than normal ovens. So the microwaves, all around the microwave is cold. So it just heats up the oven. The way microwave works, heats up the food. But the tefonot around the microwave doesn't get heated up. So how do you kashu? Is there a problem? Does the microwave become treif? Does the Prima Godim says with Zaya? It doesn't have to be. They don't both have to be hot. In other words, if the steam coming out is yad soledet, I don't care what it's touching, even if it's cold. Even if the one that's receiving the steam is cold, it will be asur. So, or the other way around. If the steam coming out is cold, but the pot that's receiving the steam is hot, it's still asur. So it's enough that one of them is hot to be mavliya inside the microwave. So the microwave is cold, but the steam coming out is boiling hot. That gets nivla inside the doifen of the microwave, and therefore it's also to use a microwave. So what do you do to kashu it? So first of all, again, I would advise to clean it first, because it's very easy to do. Just clean it, and if you can kashu it as well. So first of all, cleaning it is basically making sure everything is clean, and then afterwards take a kli with water inside and put it on for around 6 minutes. 6 minutes it start boiling, and that will poigem, all the zeya will be poigem from the steam coming out. And then Igrot Moshe says, even though you kashered it, to use two covers every time you use it. Now here it's a bit more maybe difficult, but in the microwave, if you use plastic covers, they blow up and they can burst. Right, so you have to make sure that the covers are not, you don't leave it too long in the microwave, because if it does burst, you can't eat it. If it bursts and it opens up, you can't eat the food. With a tray for microwave. Right, good question. So, but yeah, but one cover okay? Yes, one cover is fine. So if you put two covers on and the outer one gets torn off or broken, then you can soymech on one cover as long as you check that the one cover is fine. Okay, so as long as you have one good cover, you can be soymech on it. To allow the skin. Right. Possibly, but still, you make an opening, so maybe if it's too big, then they can go back in. Yeah, it's a problem. Right. So let's move on to another practical situation in the house. You've got a base of a. Sorry. Yes.
The kavod, you're talking kavod, raw kavod or kosher kavod.
Cover. No, the cover. We're talking about the cover.
Yeah.
To cover something. Yeah. Right. Okay. So very quickly again, the microwaves. What do you do with the microwave? You clean the microwave. Then after deport, put in inside water that you can you boil. That will poigem all the zeya, and then from then on to use two covers. Good. And then there's only derech arai, like we said, derech kviot, not to do this in like on an everyday basis. Just for derech arai, if you're in an aeroplane and you want to have a kosher meal, or if you're away for the holidays and you're doing the derech arai, that's fine, but not for derech kviot. Now, you're baking a base of a pizza in a fleishik oven. Can you do that like a tchila or not? Okay, so you're taking the base, baking in the oven, you want to take out the base from the oven, put pizza on, put cheese on and have it. Are you allowed to do that? Now, so if the oven is not ben yomo, it's mutar leketchila. You can do that without any problem. You put the base in the oven and you bake it. It's a clean oven, obviously clean oven, and it's not ben yomo, so there's no problem. All the blias and zeyas that was there before is already poigen. So after 24 hours, it becomes pogum, so you can do that like a tchila. But what if it's ben yomo? Now, let's say in the afternoon, the wife baked meat inside, and for supper, the children would have pizza. What can you do? Can you bake the base of the pizza in this oven or not? So there's a way of kashering the oven for pariv. Now, I want to emphasize, you can't kasher the oven for meat and milk. Once it's meaty, it stays meaty. You can't kasher the oven back and forth the way you like it. Because sometimes the reason is, Magen Avraham says, if you're going to do that, you might forget to kasher it one time. If you're switching from meat and milk, Magen Avraham says, there's a chashash, maybe you might forget to kasher it one day. So it's better, he says not to do it. If it's meaty, it stays meaty all the time. However, when you're kashering for parev, that's fine. So the way for kashering it is very simple. You put the oven on for about half an hour on full, and afterwards, obviously make sure it's clean, and then you can leketchila bake the base of the oven in this parav oven. And so what's the din b'di'eved? B'di'eved, somebody cooked in their meat, and then b'di'eved, somebody for supper, somebody cooked in their pizza. The base of the pizza without the cheese. Are you allowed to put cheese on it and eat for supper? You're allowed to do that. See, there's a machloikas. Shulchan Aruch and Ramo. The Ramo is machmeh. According to the Ramo, you wouldn't be allowed to have this because it's not bar bishul is also according to the Ramo. So even though there's not banat is mutar, however the Ramo is machmir by bishul is also. So what's happening? The meat gave tam to the oven, and the oven gave tam to the base of the pizza. That's not branat. Noten tam, bar noten tam. However, by bishul and the fear, the ramo is machmir. So you can't be soimach not branat, and therefore it would be also to have this base with cheese. But obviously you can have this base, but not with cheese. You can have it as parev, as it is. And here you have a choice. You can have it parev or with cheese. So here, obviously, the Ramah would say, because you have a choice how to eat it, you should have it with parev and not with cheese. I don't know how it would taste, pizza without cheese, but... Sorry? Ben Yomo. Yeah. If it's not Ben Yomo, there's not a problem. But the problem is when it's Ben Yomo. However, the Shulchan Aruch... So would say it's mutar. Why? Because not baranat, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is not baranat by bishul is mutar. So for Sfaradim, it wouldn't be a problem. You can have it with cheese, no problem, because not baranat by bishul is mutar.
he's done it by mistake.
Right, done by mistake.
Then he can use it. Then he can use it.
Not with cheese.
No. Chili can't go and smell with cheese. He's done it already.
Yeah.
You can use it as chetah, but not as a chili.
No. Right, like a chili, you shouldn't do it. If you've done it, you have to be the evet. If he's already done it, yeah. No, sorry. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's mota after you've done it. But according to the Ramah, even after you've done it, will be awesome. So again, if you've got a base of a pizza cooked in a ben yomon oven, fleishig oven, the base cannot be eaten with cheese because nat bar nat by bishul is also according to the Ramah. Even b'dieved, you can't have it with cheese. According to the Ramah. Okay. Shulchan Aruch, Sfaradim have a heter because they do say not bar not by bishul. It's mota. Sfaradi can, Ashkenazim can't. That's the bottom line. That's what comes out.
If it's nori bread, it's not together.
Right, not together with cheese. Yeah.
Straight up.
Yes, afterwards. Yeah, it's not. It doesn't become fleishig. It just. It's got. Sorry? So what kind of plate? Is it so? Here probably would better to use a paraf plate or disposable. So. Right, oh, disposable plates, probably a simple solution. Yeah. No, on a baking tray. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I want to move on to the next thing. The double ovens. Most people have a double oven, a meat and milky oven. So the ones without the hechsher, there could be a few problems with the ones without the hechsher. You got the top one's meaty, the bottom one's milky. And without a hechsher for ovens. So here there could be a few problems. Sometimes the shelf, the top of the bottom oven, is the base of the top oven. That can happen. And if that happens, then the metal in the middle becomes completely treif because it's got bleeds from the zeya comes out from the bottom oven and from the top oven. So the metal in the middle becomes completely treif. However, most ovens, they do have a separation. They've got different, the top of the bottom oven is separate from the oven on top. However, sometimes they're connected with screws or things holding it together. Now that could cause a problem because the tam could go from one to the other through these screws or nails. So these metal bits could be mavir tam one from the other. Therefore, an oven that it doesn't have an hechsher, but you can see it's separate. So unless you have a clear separation, you've got, let's say, a piece of wood, a plank of wood between them, so you can see there's nothing holding them together. If it's completely separated, there's not a problem. But if it's together, a joint double oven, then they could be connected by metal nails or screws could be holding them together, and that would be ma'avir tam, one from the other. So therefore, it would be mutter to use on the top one meaty and the bottom one milky, but not together. Zachar zeh wouldn't be a problem. However, zachar zeh, some are machmir dafka after ben yomo. But I think that most Ochronim say you can use it zachar zeh, but not together. But with the hechsher is not a problem. If you have a hechsher, the kosher ovens, and they're completely separate, here there's not a problem. However, even in the kosher oven, you have to be careful not to open them both together. If you're opening both at the same time, then the zeah, the steam that comes out, could be mixed up together. So it's advisable not to open them together. Now, all this that we mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch Tzadik Beis, we were talking about the top. We remember in Tzadik Beis we said there's a, on the bottom one there's a milky pot giving out steam, and the top one there's a meaty pot receiving the steam. Now we said that the Shulchan Aruch said that it's even b'dieved is also, but what about the bottom oven? Is the bottom oven, is that also asur or not? So here there's a few deals. The Yad Yehuda said it's not asur, just the top one is asur. Unless you see steam going back in. If you see drops going back in, for sure the bottom one will be asur as well. But stam, you don't say the bottom one is asur. However, the pre-Torah has got a huge chiddush. And he says that the steam combines them both together. In other words, according to the pre-Torah, you've got the milky pot on the bottom giving off steam to a pot on top, and the steam connecting them both together, we regard it as if the top pot is sitting on the bottom pot. So he brings it down as if they're connected together. Now this would be a huge nafkamina, according to the Brit Torah, if you have, or let's say on your hob, you've got a shelf, a very low shelf, that the shelf could receive steam, yad soledet, then what's going to happen is when you cook meaty, the shelf on top is going to receive meaty steam. Then when you cook something milky, the shelf will be receiving milky steam. And it's going to have blias of ison heta together. Bosa and cholof together. And then that steam would be like connected. The shelf would be as if it's sitting on the kosher, on what you're cooking. That's a big chomra, but I think normally the shelves are not so low. I mean, even if it's I think it's more than half a meter or meter high, I think it's already, it can't be atzoledet, unless you're using a pressure cooker. Pressure cookers, if you open the ring on top, it gives out steam. I think it could be atzoledet even a meter and a half away. So if you're using a pressure cooker, it could be a problem. But normally it doesn't get to atzoledet on such a distance. But another nafkamina could be... Yes. Yeah, basa v'cholof. Yeah, you're cooking basa v'cholof together. And also will be answering the food as well, because the shelf is as if it's sitting on the food you're eating, you'll be answering it as well. Now, another thing that could, very practical that could happen, if you just wash some milky dishes, and the milky dishes are next to the hob, and the meat is giving off steam, and if the steam is touching the milky dishes, and it's yad soledet, when it touches it, it will answer the plates, because the steam becomes, the steam is like the shutaros said, it's like the thing itself. But again, it has to be close enough for it to become also. However, what's the din if it's cold? The steam, you've got milky plates, and the meat is giving off steam. By the time it reaches the milky plates, it's already cold, and the plates are cold. Everything is cold. Now, there's not a problem, it doesn't become treif. However, you must wash the plates before you use them. So steam can spread. It can spread a few meters. The only question is it yad soledet? If it's yad soledet, when it touches it, it becomes osur. Now if it's not yad soledet, you still have to be choshesh for the steam. So the steam that comes out on these plates, you have to wash them before you have it with milk, because you got basar on it. The steam is like the basar itself, so you have to be washed before you use them. So it's advisable not to have any milky dishes or meaty dishes around while you're cooking something. Right. When it's hot steam, it becomes also. Also, you can't use it. It's treif. No, you can't kashrut it because it's
cold water. If it's washable, steam is cold.
Right. Yes.
You can wash it with cold water. You can wash it with milk. How do you wash the plate, which has got bit of
Right. So because the steam itself is so again you've got cold milky plates, and you have right. So I just want to repeat your question. You've got milky dishes, right, and you've got meaty steam on there. Where do you wash the plates? So because the steam is like mamashos, I would wash it in the meaty one. Okay, yes, because you've got mamashus on there, the steam, with cold water, yes. Cold water and with soap, and the meat, because the mamashus, if you've got steam there, you have to wash with cold water first to make sure all the steam comes off, and afterwards you can have it as usual. Not with hot water, and with running water, yes. Yes, yeah, with running water, cold running water. One more thing, just before I finish the shiur, spices. Spices, you have to have separate spices when you're cooking. So if you've got something meaty being cooked, giving off steam, when you put salt or any spices in, what's happening is the steam is coming inside the spices. So you have to have, according to this, the zeya makes it, if it's fleishig, it becomes fleishig. So you have, if you're using any spices on the hob itself, you need to have separate meaty and milky. However, when you're eating, let's say if you're eating you're eating a meal on your plate, here there's not much steam coming off, so here we're not so choishish. The chashash is when something's boiling on the hob, giving out lots of steam, this can come inside the spices. Now, even if, let's say, salt, the salt comes out. So somebody told me that maybe when it's giving out salt, it won't be taking in steam. However, some spices have got 10 holes on top. I've got a few holes in them. So even though it's coming off some of the holes, but there are other holes, steam can go in. So when you're cooking on the hob, you make sure that you've got separate spices for each one. However, when you're eating a meal, there's not a problem because the steam is not so strong and the steam can't go in and acer it. Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
The last two ones are...